Hello, everybody, and welcome in. This is Reverend Dr. Edvige, and once again, we are going to have a wonderful episode. A little bit later, I'm going to bring on my guest, Dr. Thomas Brewer. So if you have any health questions, he's amazing, and you'll definitely want to join in. So right out the gate, let me give you that telephone number so you can get yourself together. That number is 323-203-0815. You know, every week I like to bring on guests and like to talk about finding ways to empower yourself, ways to gain control of your life, to be able to really connect in with who you are, your sole purpose. And so I just want to remind you that if you haven't signed up for my webinar series, Raising Your Consciousness, there is still time because we had our first episode or first session this past Sunday, and it's going to continue for the next 4 Sundays. There's a replay available, so you don't have to worry if you can't make it live on the webinar, because you can always come back. I'm going to send it to you, and you can play it at your leisure. But I just wanted to go over briefly what each session covers, because it's so important that we understand that we truly have reached the dawning of a new day. And what does that look like for you? Do you truly have the vision to create powerful moments each and every day in your life? Are you ready to stand up and be the change that you've been waiting for? Think about that. That moment is here. So what are you creating in this moment? Are you ready to go within, and I do mean deep within, to those places you've been hiding from? You have the power to create and manifest true change in your life, okay? And right now, that little word that you hear in everyone's tongue is that light worker, right? So as you heed the calling of a new day, I know you hear this word light worker and you grimace thinking that it couldn't possibly be you because, well, your life's in shambles. You don't have any special gifts, right? You know who you are if you're hearing this, right? But I say to you, you are the gift, and it's time to stand tall and to let your light shine. Now, think about it. As you let your light shine, as you do the work to release those things that are no longer serving you, and your light begins to shine brightly, right? Won't that lead the way for another, and then another, and then another? And together, our light will be so bright that no one will be able to deny that this new day has in fact come. So I want to reach out to all you light workers and naysayers and offer a special opportunity for you to go ahead and register with this amazing webinar series and take advantage of it, because it will absolutely change your life. In week one, we already discussed what is consciousness and understanding that there are 7 levels or stages to it. And so not to beat yourself up, if you find that you are in one of these lower stages, it's okay, because it's the natural progression. So that means that you're in the right place at the right time and you're moving it forward. This Sunday, we're going to be discussing how to connect into your higher self and bring in your soul as a partner to create your reality. I can tell you, for me, the experiences I have when my higher self really communicates and I can feel those higher aspects of myself, it's amazing physically what it feels like. But then to know that I'm actually connected into the God aspect of myself is such an awesome feeling. And I want everyone to be able to discover that for yourself. And so we'll be sharing some tools to awakening the master in you. And you will have the power to create your own identity. And based on that position of power, intent, and consciousness, you will then be able to begin to create those things that you're seeking. So that's really exciting. I hope you join me this Sunday for that. Again, it's 10 o'clock West Coast time, but the replay is available 24/7, so there's no reason for you to not sign up and really, truly begin to create the life that you want. And then as we move forward, we're going to continue to understand why it's so important to be positive. And with that, you're going to actually start to evaluate your vocabulary, those trigger words that you use, and what energy and vibration it's causing in you. Right? Because a lot of times we don't even understand that we've been programmed and we say these words like lack and limitation or doubt and or I can't. and we don't understand just how powerful these words are. So we're going to really begin to examine what our vocabulary looks like and how we can start to overcome negative chatter. And then as we do that, that's leading us into the following week, which is, again, how to release all of this old programming. See, because your subconscious mind does not know the difference. It can't tell if it's something that's real or something that you made up. And that's why it's so important to watch everything that we're allowing in, you know, what we watch on television. And you know you've heard me say that before. But we're going to actually discuss how we're going to release this old programming and learn easy, effective techniques to do that. And then finally, guess what? We get to reprogram ourselves. We get to go in and start to paint the picture of how we see ourselves right now in the now moment. And that word now is so important. And so we're going to really begin to do this in the now moment. So I invite you to go to affirmationsforliving.net. On the top tab, you're going to see a button that says events. Click on the event button, and it's going to take you to the webinar, and you can pay through PayPal right there. So definitely, it's something that speaks to me. If it speaks to you, I invite you to sign up today. So there you have it. If you haven't already downloaded the app Awakened, I also invite you to do so because it's absolutely amazing and you have access to everything. We do affirmation Mondays. Every Monday I send out affirmations. Excuse me one second. Had a tickle in my throat. And also you can view the webinar right from your smartphone. So get the app. It's called Awakened, A-W-A-K-E-N-E-D. Also, if you haven't been to my site recently, you know that I also offer spiritual life coaching. So if you're really wanting a one-on-one, if you're really wanting to figure out what this thing about life is all about, and you know you find yourself now asking, there's something I'm supposed to be doing, and I don't know what it is, that's your cue that it's your higher self communicating with you. It's the God part of you saying, okay, it's time for you to wake up. And so I invite you to connect with me. Go to my website, and we can do one-on-one coaching via Skype, over the telephone, or in person. So definitely do that. And finally, if you haven't been there, there's also meditation. Meditation is so vitally important to quieting yourself, to releasing stress, and then connecting in. And so there's an amazing guided meditation that I created called Awakening the Master in You. That meditation has 9 ancient solfeggio tones embedded in it, and everyone who listens just is blown away at all the different changes that begin to occur in them. So I would invite you to go to my site and also get that today. Alrighty, so as we move forward, I want to talk a little bit about my guest today. My guest today is Dr. Thomas Brewer. He has a PhD in chemistry, but he specializes in nutritional blood microscopy. Or dark field, some people have heard of it that way. And this is just absolutely amazing. I've had it done several times. As a matter of fact, it's what I do every year to check to see how I'm physically doing. And it's just really interesting. You actually take just one tiny little drop of blood and put it on a slide, and then you run that under a microscope, and it shows your living blood. It shows everything in it under this microscope, and you see it on a computer screen in front of you. I mean, talk about fascinating. So everything from dehydration to anemia to you name it, it shows up in the blood first. So it's just fascinating. And his greatest gift, I would have to say, is his unique ability to present all of this complex information in a simple manner. Dr. Brewer is a true educator, and it's truly a thrill to have him on today. He truly receives great pleasure passing his knowledge, his wisdom on to you. And so, again, if you have any questions, please feel free to give us a call today. He is going to be on to help you, and that number is 323-203-0815. All righty, here we go. Hello, everybody. I am back. This is Reverend Dr. Edvige, and you are listening to Affirmations for Living. By the way, Ronan, I love that music. You can always play that every time. That was really cool. So we are live, and Dr. Brewer is in now. Hello, Dr. Brewer. How are you doing today?
Hi there.
Hi there. So welcome in. So today we are just going to share, well, gosh, your knowledge. It would take hours and hours and hours. However, we only have 50 minutes. So just tell our audience a little bit about you and your background, if you would, please.
Sure. I'm a PhD chemist. I'm not a medical doctor, and I specialize in the nutrition and the health of the blood. So one test I use extensively is known as nutritional blood microscopy. And I look at a drop of a client's blood under a dark field microscope, and I do it live. I do it right in front of them. And in that drop, I can see how well one's immune system is functioning. I can see if there's any plaque or cholesterol or uric acid crystals forming in their blood. These are oxidized crystals. I can see any parasites, both rod-form or L-form bacterial parasites, yeast and fungus in the blood. Vitamin deficiencies will change the shape and the appearance of the red cells. I can see if you're dehydrated, if you're not taking enough antioxidants. So quite a few things, as well as how well are you digesting proteins, carbohydrates, and fats. So yeah. You sum all that up and we can really see if you're healthy on the inside or if you just look pretty on the outside.
Well, looking pretty on the outside is good. However, we do need to be healthy on the inside. And, you know, I was sharing with my audience earlier that I've had many of these tests done with you. And I just find it absolutely fascinating how you can see so much in just a drop of blood. It's amazing to me. So, you know, I really want to find out what are some basic tenets, some basic things for health. What are some basic requirements that we need to be healthy? Does that make sense
sure.
to you?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It all starts with what you put into your mouth. Okay. That includes food and that includes supplements, if any. Mm-hmm. You want to consume foods that you can completely digest, metabolize, and eliminate in 6 to 10 hours. So basically, if you're consuming 3 meals a day, mm-hmm. you should be having roughly 2 bowel movements a day. And anything okay. less than that, you're building up toxicity.
Now, I have to say here, because my mom was watching a show on television, a doctor's show, and I won't say the name. And they said, and she repeated this to me, and I said, really? I don't think so. That if you go twice a week, that's okay. And I said, but you would have all of these toxins in your system. That can't possibly be correct. So what's your take on that?
That was a mistake. Okay. I think they meant twice a day. That's a huge mistake. Nobody
well,
would
and
say
can
that.
Can you tell us why that's a mistake? Because, yeah, that sounds crazy to me. Can you share why that would be an awful thing?
Right. Because if you don't eliminate the waste products from your meals in 6 to 10 hours, they putrefy in your intestines and colon. Mm-hmm. And that toxicity will breed parasite and yeast formation. It'll also hinder your ability to absorb nutrients. So there's these little villi, little hairs in your intestines, and those little hairs absorb the nutrients. If you don't have regular bowel movements, the hairs get clogged with the fecal matter, and then you stop absorbing nutrients, which means your red blood cells suffer. Your red blood cells will become damaged because you can't get the nutrients to the bone marrow where the red blood cells are made.
Okay. So then it definitely is important that you have bowel movements every 6 to 8 hours after a meal.
Or something similar to that. I mean, it's going to be different all the time. But, you know, if somebody eats 3 meals a day and a snack or two and they're having 1 bowel movement, you know, back in the old days, we used to think that was good. Oh, mom said to have 1 bowel movement a day every morning, you should have a bowel movement. That's a good start, But that is not ideal health. It's better than zero bowel movements a day, but it's still not quite optimum. And this also depends on the size of your meals, right? So if you're having three very, very teeny meals, well, of course, one bowel movement would be all you would need.
Okay. That makes sense. Absolutely. Gosh, there's so many different questions I have. Okay. So let's go back to the basics. Is there a basic program or regime for eating? You know, you hear lots of different diets, and there needs to be a balance of just the sliver of fat, the proper carbohydrate, and protein in each meal.
In fact, I just did a seminar on this, which was recorded. It'll be online soon, but you basically want to eat whole fruits, whole vegetables, whole fiber, lean protein sources. That would either be lean meat, lean fish. You can also get protein from beans and the whole grains. And you want to consume the correct kind of fats. And most people are familiar with whole fruits and whole vegetables. Most people are familiar with lean protein sources. Where people get it wrong is the fats. The biggest mistake you can make is not to consume any fat with a meal. Zero fat is very dangerous. It tricks the body into storing excess calories as fat, and it throws a hormonal switch so that you do not burn fat. You end up storing it.
And you see all those
very bad
fat
thing
diets,
to do.
So, yeah, I just had half an avocado in my salad, so my fat was
there. You go, and that's perfect.
Yep.
So, fat sources, there's not many. The good fats are found in avocados. They're found in nuts. As long as you don't have irritable bowel syndrome or diverticulitis, nuts are absolutely great source of fat. Olive oil, of course, as long as you do not cook it. Olive oil is not thermally stable. Despite what you hear, it is not. And then coconut oil is the king of the fat that you're going to find in a store. I'd say coconut oil and olive oil are the king and queen fat that you're going to find in a grocery store. The coconut oil is the best to cook with. It's very thermally stable.
Okay.
And if the FDA had their way, they would take it off the store shelves because it is phenomenal for the human body.
You know, now here's the question, because again, if you have high cholesterol, and we're going to get into that because people think that high cholesterol is a bad thing, and the doctors will even say, or certain people will say, don't have, you know, coconut oil because it's high saturated fat or whatever. Would you please put that to rest?
Well, let me explain something about that. The first thing is I wonder if any more than half of 1% of the listening audience even knows what a saturated fat is. They think they know it's bad for you. They don't even know what it is. A saturated fat means it's saturated in hydrogen atoms. And again, that doesn't tell you anything. A saturated fat does not have double bonds, and double bonds are very reactive. So the reason saturated fats get this bad press is because they're considered to be difficult to metabolize. So without these double bonds, the fat doesn't digest well, and so you end up forming plaque. That is only true for long-chain saturated fats. So that would be the saturated fats found in animal products. Those are difficult to metabolize. And even those are not a problem as long as you do not consume sugar with the saturated fat. Now, getting back to coconut oil, it is not a long-chain fat. Now, the term is triglyceride. It is a medium-chain triglyceride, medium-chain fat, same thing. It's known as an MCT. Now, MCTs are a little secret amongst the bodybuilders and the athletes, because if they want to cut just a few pounds of fat, they'll consume coconut oil or MCTs. So even though it is a fat, you burn more calories, more fat, consuming this fat. Everybody wants to burn fat. It's good metabolically, and it makes us look better. It's very healthy to have your body in a state where it burns fat preferentially, and that's what coconut oil will do, because coconut oil is an MCT. Now, when they were trying to figure out ways to fatten up cattle, they were feeding them these different types of oils and fats and vegetable oils, etc. And when they fed them coconut oil, unfortunately, the cattle lost weight. And since they sell the cattle by weight, the ranchers lost money. So they never, ever feed cattle coconut oil because it burns fat. But that is almost a little secret that is not disclosed to the masses. Now, you can find this information. If you search MCTs, you'll find how they're used. And coconut oil is one of the best of the MCTs.
So how much should we be taking?
We scare people. Typically 1 to 2 tablespoons a day.
Okay.
You know, but again, we scare people into thinking that saturated fats are bad, and nobody even defines a saturated fat for us.
Exactly.
So, coconut oil is absolutely positively a saturated fat, and it's one of the greatest things you can put into your body, and you'll find it does tremendous things for everything from diabetes to arthritis to boosting your immune system to making you look better just by burning fat.
Wonderful. Yeah, I definitely do my coconut every day. Plus, it tastes good, so it's easy to do.
Well, it's excellent to cook with, so you would use it instead of butter or corn oil on the bottom of a pan. The absolute worst fat you can put into your body is called canola oil. It's a genetically modified rapeseed oil, and it's supposed to be good for you because it does not get metabolized, which is why it's bad for you. It sticks to your cell membranes, and it prevents the cells from absorbing insulin. And if you don't absorb insulin, you're type 2 diabetic.
Oh, wow.
So it's very, very bad to consume canola oil, and most type 2 diabetics have been consuming canola oil, and nobody's going to tell them the link.
Absolutely. So then let's look at diabetes, because it's such a prevalent issue, this type 2, which, you know, 98-99% can be controlled by one's diet. So what would be the first steps in controlling that diet? Obviously, eliminating canola oil from the diet. But there's
so you would eliminate canola oil. You would eat your 2 tablespoons of coconut oil. But even more importantly is a type 2 diabetic must consume low glycemic index foods. So the glycemic index is a rate. It is the rate of conversion of every carbohydrate you put into your mouth, and it's the rate of conversion to a simple sugar called glucose. So that's why they call it the glycemic index. It kind of sounds like the glucose index.
Okay.
And you want to consume foods that burn to glucose slowly. So these are carbohydrates that get converted to glucose slowly. Now, one way you can change the glycemic index of a meal would be to consume some appropriate fats with the meal. Another reason you should always consume fat with a meal. So some nuts, some avocado, some olive oil, some coconut oil, that will lower the glycemic index of what would otherwise be a high glycemic index meal. Your fruit juices are high glycemic index. That's why you never juice. You consume the entire fruit. That's the whole fruit, the whole vegetable. These are much lower glycemic index than a juice. Same thing with grains. You consume the whole grain, not the white flour. Unfortunately, in this country, it's very strange. We start with wheat, which contains a germ, a bran, and an endosperm. And the endosperm is what tastes good, and it's very high glycemic index. So we separate out the germ, and you can buy it separately. We separate out wheat bran, you can buy it separately. And then we grind up the endosperm. It's a very high glycemic index product, and that's what we sell as flour.
Flour.
Well, that's ridiculous.
That's the crappy part.
We shouldn't even be doing that. There shouldn't even be a choice. Every flour on the shelf should be made from the whole wheat, the whole grain. Mm-hmm. And if we did that, our incidence of diabetes would drop astronomically.
Well, you know, I like to use almond flour when I bake or quinoa flour.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent.
So, oh my goodness, there's so much then about this diabetes. Now, you know, you'll also hear them say not to eat fruit. Are there particular fruits that are diabetic should avoid?
Well, they just have more sugar, so they're higher glycemic index. So you would minimize bananas and carrots. Those are your, you know, bananas, the highest glycemic index fruit, and carrot is the highest glycemic index vegetable. So I'm not saying carrots are bad because they've got beta carotene and that's a great antioxidant. Carrots have fiber, but you would minimize consumption of bananas and carrots. You know, bananas, when you mash them, can even be used as a substitute for sugar in a recipe.
Oh, wow.
Right? Now, you're getting the sweetness from the banana, mm-hmm. but you're also getting fiber from it. It's still better than white sugar.
But if you put coconut oil with the banana.
Whole. What's that?
If you put coconut oil with the banana for
there
like
you go.
Smoothie,
you lowered the glycemic index.
And you lowered it. Got it.
Right, right.
Perfect.
So that's the whole thing with diabetes. Lowering the glycemic index with food choices mm-hmm. and then also with the appropriate consumption of fat. And, you know, the appropriate consumption is always a small amount. There's an absolute ratio, but it confuses people. But, you know, the number isn't zero. And that's really my point. Zero fat with a meal is dangerous. Your cells need fat. Are we still there?
Can you hear me?
Hmm. Yeah,
I'm
there
here.
You go.
I'm here.
Okay, got it.
You know, and I know that high cholesterol isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's plaque in the blood. So why are doctors or people always prescribing statins when they see you have high cholesterol?
Well, you know, some people say there's this gravitational force and that's why the world goes round. But, you know, it's money. That's what makes the world go round.
Okay,
so
yeah,
it is a very profitable pharmaceutical. It has a lot of media push that it's good for you. Even the doctors don't know about cholesterol because the medical books are all old. I mean, they're still using books from the 1970s that looked at these studies that tried to link cholesterol to heart disease. In the 90s, they realized there is not a link between cholesterol level and heart disease. The link is the crystals, not the level. Right? So they found people dying of heart disease with these very low cholesterol levels, and they found people with very high cholesterol levels not having any signs of heart disease, no plaque in their arteries. So instead of revising the books, they just let it go. Because the statins are a big seller and it's easy to diagnose. If your cholesterol level is over 220, we're going to give you statins. And then about 20 years ago, they lowered the number to 200, which is our current number. And they want to lower it again to 180.
Oh my.
So as long as they keep moving the goalposts, you'll get more field goals.
Exactly, which means more prescription drugs sold. So you have high cholesterol, then you don't need to really be concerned with it unless you have plaque in your blood.
Cholesterol crystals or plaque. So that's what makes the test I do valuable. There are other tests to determine whether you have plaque deposits. So there are tests that will check a sound wave that goes through your arm and see if it propagates correctly, which would mean you don't have plaquey cholesterol deposits in your arteries. What I do is very visual, so it's not, we're not guessing from a number. We're actually looking at the plaque or the cholesterol.
Absolutely.
And
if you find that you have plaque, then what would you do? Because I know you have some amazing products.
You have to go figure out, now, why did the plaque form? And plaque forms because it's an oxidation reaction. It's excess oxidation of cholesterol mixed with the wrong fats in your diet and the wrong sugars. Plaque will not form without sugar. So that's the whole issue with saturated fats. You can consume them as long as you don't consume sugar. But everybody consumes a lot of sugar, and that's what leads to the heart disease ultimately. But they're not going to ban sugar. Well,
people like sweet things. So is there a good sugar? Is there something safe?
There are natural.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, not agave, but there are natural sugar substitutes out there, but there's only two that will really work, and one of them doesn't taste so great. So the two are stevia, which is a plant, but it's so sweet. It's 40 times sweeter than sugar, and most people don't like it because they're using 40 times too much.
Oh, okay.
And the other one is it's actually a product called Just Like Sugar. It's found in Whole Foods. It's made from orange peels. It is a natural sugar substitute, not an artificial substitute. It does taste like sugar. It has no calories, no carbohydrates, no glycemic index. You can even cook with it. Unlike stevia, you really shouldn't cook with stevia. So there's your natural sugar substitutes. The other thing, of course, is you can use fruits in recipes. Like I said, mashing bananas also works.
Oh, you know what?
But you don't have a lot to choose from with sugar substitutes.
I found coconut sugar. And so it's just the dried coconut that they crystallize and, you know, made it into a powder. Would that be safe or something like date sugar?
It would be if you read the label. There is a product out there called coconut butter. And so you'd say, oh, that's perfect. You put it on your bread. It's coconut oil. It's the perfect fat, even though it's a saturated fat. It's the perfect fat for the body. And then you read the ingredients. And unfortunately, it's canola oil mixed with coconut oil. It's worst oil mixed with the best oil. I mean, they're so clever. They are so clever at marketing these products that are bad for you, but you think they're good for you.
Well, you know, that's like soy. I mean, what happened? Soy oil, soy, this is in so many products. I mean, you can't pick up a salad dressing or it's crazy.
Yeah.
And soy
the problem
is not
with
our
soy
friend.
Is the processing. Soy, the entire soy is fine. It's absolutely fine. You're not even going to have a hormonal reaction. But during the processing, it's just a fraction of the soy kernel is utilized, and that's the part that gives you the hormonal imbalance. Mm. So the processed soy, which is everywhere, is the problem.
Okay.
And you know, we do it to ourselves. Our food industry hires scientists like me, and they figure out ways to make the food addictive. And that's, you know, that's one of the things with white flour. It, you know, what's going to taste good? Well, compare a standard white flour pancake to a whole wheat pancake. You know, the white flour pancake tastes better.
Could have went out.
And that's the thing. And that's what we have. And same thing with the sugar substitutes. These artificial sweeteners are addictive. One of the worst is NutraSweet, which is aspartame. Very dangerous. Actually was discovered a long time ago as an insecticide for carpenter ants. But they found, since it was sweet to the ants, let's see if it's sweet to the people. Yes, it is. Is it dangerous? Yes. Well, let's still get it approved. And what it does is you never get satiated. You never get full. So you end up eating too much.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of the processed foods, actually all the processed foods, they're designed for you to eat a lot.
And the pharmaceuticals
and you
love
to buy
that.
Them.
Yeah, because you overeat, then you become type 2 diabetic, and then you need what? Drugs. And
Well, yeah,
so,
that's a crossover. But for the food industry, they need sales. And in
yeah.
order to sell a product, it's got to taste good, but that's not enough. It's got to be addictive. And
Healthy food
so,
tastes good though. So, that's so sad that we're so
yeah.
programmed. You know,
But
I'm
you
all
have to
about
figure out
programming.
the right recipes for the healthy food, and you have to use your spices correctly, and then everything is just so good you'll never go back. But it's not really marketed well. Healthy foods and healthy spices and healthy recipes, they're not McDonald's Big Macs. I mean, it's not the same
True.
level of marketing.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, truly. So now, do you support taking supplements, and what are some basic supplements that we should, have in our daily
Right.
diet?
Well, it always depends on the person. So if you take someone that eats whole fruits, whole vegetables, whole grains, and the right kind of fats, they won't need to substitute anything as long as they're digesting, metabolizing, and eliminating their meals. But most people aren't doing that, and there's a certain amount of processed foods in their diet, and therefore they're not getting that complete digestion. And usually it starts with not digesting proteins completely. So I do suggest a high quality plant-based enzyme for those that aren't eating ideally. That's a good place to start. Another thing that's very common is a lot of people, when I look at their blood, they've got parasitic bacteria or yeast or even fungus in their blood. Now the fungus they're going to know about because they're not going to feel good. But with the parasites and the yeast, it normally doesn't get picked up by standard blood tests. So usually it's good to supplement with a small amount of probiotics every day. And that could either be done through a yogurt where the probiotics were added after pasteurization. So this isn't like a Danone or Yoplait. This is a yogurt that's really yogurt. It actually added the probiotics that were destroyed during pasteurization back in. And
Like a
if they're not
kefir.
added after pasteurization, you're getting ripped off. It's just sugar milk.
So are
But
those
you can do
kefirs
that. I mean, just
good?
the food. Kefir will do it too. Yeah. Yeah. Fermented food. So you don't even need to supplement. You just need to use the right food choice. But it's something to keep on your list is something with live probiotics. So that's common. Those with any high cholesterol and that have the heart disease or the plaque formation or the hardening of the arteries, they're going to want a high-end antioxidant. And if they're going to do it with food, that would be your brightly colored fruits and vegetables. Eat the rainbow. And that's the whole fruit, the whole vegetable. So that's a big thing. Those with a compromised immune system, again, whole fruits, whole vegetables, and some of them may even need to take sterols, which are plant-based fats. And I remember, Yves, this was something you did. The Sterol Max is made from sterols, and actually the chemical name is glucosides, but they're found in sprouts, and these are sprouts before a leaf forms. So even when you go to the store and buy sprouts, they've got leaves on them. So the glucoside content is almost zero. But that's a temporary thing just to get those white cells active, which is a big part of your immune system. But you can still do a pretty good job with whole fruits, whole vegetables, whole grains, and the right kind of fats.
Very cool. There's another thing out there. You're going to see people talking about, well, it's all over the place, calcium, and they don't understand that there needs to be a ratio between calcium and magnesium, and how bad it is
Right.
to take too much calcium without enough magnesium.
Right.
Would you share why that's such an awful thing?
Yeah, well, again, it goes back to marketing, but most of the calcium supplements out there are very inexpensive because they are mineral based. They won't hurt you, but they're based on marble. They're actually marble dust. The chemical name for marble is calcium carbonate. So if you've got a calcium supplement, turn the label around and see if it says calcium carbonate. It's not going to hurt you. Marble is inert, but it's not going to do anything to help lower your body's acidity, which would be to raise the pH. It's not going to do that. It's not going to alkalize your body. It's not going to feed your bones. It's just going to end up in your poop. Not going to hurt you on the way. It's very inert, but not going to do anything. You want mineralized or ionized forms of calcium. That would be the calcium found in plants. The plant does the work of ionizing or activating or mineralizing the calcium from the soil. So when you consume a calcium carbonate or a calcium oxide calcium supplement, that'd be like you eating dirt. You don't do a good job metabolizing it. When you consume the plant, and that would typically be your green plants, the plant did the work, ionized calcium, and then you readily absorb it. It goes right into your cells. And that's how you lower your acidity, which means it's raising the pH and it's doing everything that calcium is supposed to do in the body. And fortunately, the foods have the right ratio of calcium and magnesium. So when you go natural, you automatically get the right ratio. That's why coral calcium is so good, because this is calcium and magnesium and iodine and minerals found in the ocean in a perfect ratio for us, and in an ionized form because it's plant-based. Unfortunately, a lot of the coral calcium out there was calcium that fell off a coral reef, washed ashore, sat on the beach in the sand, was exposed to sunlight, so there was photochemical oxidation reaction occurring, and you're getting nothing better than the minerals you get at Walmart. So there are companies that sell coral calcium. By definition, it is coral calcium, but they harvested it from the beach, so they charge you coral calcium prices, but you're getting nothing better than what you would buy in a low-end drugstore. It's calcium oxide and calcium carbonate. So you got to be careful. It's always caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware.
Beware. And so what about magnesium?
Well, it's the same sort of thing, but with magnesium, there's a little trick to getting the exact amount of magnesium your body needs without having to measure anything or buy lots of different supplements. You would go to the store and buy some Epsom salts, which are so inexpensive, they're almost free. And you'd soak your feet or your body in a bath anytime you want, and your body will only absorb the amount of magnesium that it needs, so you never overdose or underdose. So if you have any concern of magnesium deficiency, that's all you would need to do.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
It's just a simple way to top off your body of magnesium, yet you don't have to measure anything. Your body will only absorb what it needs. Epsom salts is something called, chemically, it's magnesium sulfate.
Okay,
so
that makes sense then.
Yeah, so that's like a little trick because most people just supplement with the calcium and not the magnesium. Now, if you buy a coral calcium, that's really coral calcium, it has the perfect ratio of magnesium in there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you eat the plants, you'll be good too.
So what plants have both calcium and magnesium?
All the green plants, like spinach and kale.
Oh, cool. I eat those every day.
Yeah, and your good lettuces, your leaf lettuce.
Very cool. So we have about 5 minutes or so left. Any last-minute things that you want to make sure? Of course, adding your contact information here locally in the Vegas Valley. But what other things? Oh, eggs. I know that a lot of people eat eggs and I know there's this long word that begins with an A that you said once before that's in the yoke, why the yoke isn't necessarily a good thing. Would you just briefly tell us a little
Sure.
bit more about that?
Yeah. Eggs are a double-edged sword. The eggs are high in protein, but half the protein's in the yolk and half is in the egg white. So there's 3 grams in each for a total of 6 grams. The cholesterol is concentrated in the yolk. So there's this concept that you shouldn't eat egg yolks. But there are other good fats in the egg yolk. And now the bottom line on eggs is go ahead and have one egg yolk a day and maybe even two. But if you're going to eat a lot of eggs, just separate out the yolks beyond one or two.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you're getting the best of both worlds. It's usually not good to overload with egg yolks. And it's because you're going to get a lot of inflammation. It will change something called your eicosanoid hormones. It's a very long, drawn-out subject. But you'll end up putting the body in a very bad state hormonally when you consume too many egg yolks. And again, you know, the egg yolks have cholesterol. Cholesterol isn't the villain. If it was the villain, your liver would not make it. There is not one example in the human body where the human body makes something that is dangerous for the body.
Mm-hmm.
So the liver makes cholesterol. Why is cholesterol vilified if it's made in the body?
That makes sense.
There's no example of any chemical made in the body that harms it. And
because it's a divine,
is one of them.
Absolutely. God didn't make any mistakes when he made us, so
right.
We are perfect as we are, and everything in us definitely is perfect. Okay, so in the last minute or so, your website, your number, how do you want people to reach you if they would like to experience?
You know, I consult with a company called Enriching Gifts, so one way to reach me is through email, info@enrichinggifts.com, and that has 2 G's. So there's the G on the end of enriching and the G on the word gifts.
Okay.
So that's one way to get a hold of me. You can contact me through phone, area code 702-372-8413. So people that want their blood analyzed, if they're in the Las Vegas area or if they're going to visit Las Vegas, that would be that'd be a good way to go,
and I'll
offer a discount
to
everyone.
Wonderful. So mention this, that you heard about Doc on this show, and he'll give you a discount. And
I'll half off the normal price on blood screening.
Oh, very cool. Well, I can't thank you enough because I know how valuable you are to me. And I look forward to coming in and having my blood checked. As a matter of fact, I need to come in and get some more Sterile Max. So,
Well, I hope you realize how valuable you are to me because good things always happen to me when I read anything you put out on Facebook. Good things are always happening to me more than usual. So I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm going to keep reading what you do.
I have good mojo.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for taking this time out to speak with my audience today. You take care, and we will talk
soon.
All
right.
Okay.
You're welcome. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So there you have it, everyone. Another informative episode of Affirmations for Living. Again, visit me on my website, affirmationsforliving.net. Sign up for my smartphone app, Awakened. And until next week, you be blessed, you be safe, and take care. Take care. Bye-bye.